This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. We go immediately to reports from the Indo-Pacific, which is the contest for the 21st century. This headline from Reuters: Sri Lanka faces looming food crisis with stunted rice crop. Dateline Colombo, the capital of Sri Lanka. The farmer walked through his 4 acres of emerald green paddy fields in northern Sri Lanka's Kilinochichi district, indicating the height the plants should have reached by now. They were several feet short. The standing paddy crop across most of this major rice-growing belt is stunted for the second successive season because of the lack of fertilizer, according to farmers, a union leader, and local government officials. Gordon, a very good evening to you. The stunted rice crop was the driver for the turmoil in Sri Lanka, the flight of the president and prime minister, the challenges to the Sri Lankan government, and now the concern in Delhi with competition with China. Is all that correct, Gordon? It started with stunted rice last year. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. If one would go back even further, one can say that the Sri Lankan government banned the importation of foreign fertilizer. That was because there was a debt crisis. They were running out of foreign exchange. And there's a debt crisis because China debt trapped Sri Lanka. So there's a long trail to get to this point where the rice crop is insufficient.
Colombo has been the scene of riots, of protests, of challenges, of the government saying shoot on sight to protesters. What were they protesting? They're hungry, or they're anticipating they don't have rice to export. There's no earnings. Hence, the prime minister and the president flee. But that was then. This is now. We welcome Nitin Gokhale. He is in Delhi to help us understand the contest, not only about the failure of the government in Sri Lanka and Colombo, but also about the Chinese interference, and not only about the Chinese interference with their debt weapon, but also with a ship that is now docked at a port built by Chinese money that is not needed, at a white elephant port. I read the headlines from the Washington Post. Chinese military ship docks in Sri Lanka over Indian U.S. objections. First sentence, a Chinese Navy ship at the center of diplomatic spat docked in a southern port in Sri Lanka, marking a small triumph for Beijing over India and the United States. Nitin, a very good day to you. As I understand it, the Indian government asked the Sri Lankan government not to permit this ship, said to be a research and survey vessel, to dock. The Chinese insisted anyway, and the ship is now docked at the port that was built by Chinese money. What is the opinion in Delhi of this insult to India's affairs? And also, what is the Indian response contemplated? Good day to you, Nitin.
Good day, John. Good day, Gordon. Indeed, this has been a contest for some time, for almost 2 weeks now. Initially, the Sri Lankan government did comply with India's insistence or request not to allow the Chinese ship to dock at Hambantota, the southern port that you mentioned. But I think the Chinese piled on the pressure. They have two weapons, of course. One is loans, very heavy loans against Sri Lanka. And the other is their leverage in the International Monetary Fund. So they insisted that Sri Lanka review the initial decision of not allowing the ship inside Sri Lankan waters. But finally, Sri Lanka has relented and has allowed the ship to dock against objections both by India and U.S., the United States. And that has been seen in New Delhi as India's, insult to India, and also the daring decision taken by Sri Lanka as something that shows how badly trapped they are in the Chinese panda hug. The Chinese have the trap, the debt trap against the Sri Lankans.
I like that, panda hug. Gordon, you have a question for our friend Nitin.
Nitin, of course, Sri Lanka is beholden to China, which is believed to be the largest creditor to the Sri Lankan state. But also, Sri Lanka is beholden to India as well. India has been providing vital commodities like fertilizer. Indeed, India actually gave an exception to its export ban on fertilizer by allowing shipments to Sri Lanka. We have seen India in recent days supplied military aircraft to Sri Lanka, or surveillance craft, sorry. Why doesn't the Sri Lankan government respond to pressure from India?
Well, I think the pressure from China is greater. And India also is a country which sort of goes to an extent to pressurize a neighbor or a smaller neighbor, but does not insist on the outcome that it desires, unlike China. So that is something that India will have to review. Because like you said, India has been the closest friend and neighbor for Sri Lanka in the crisis-ridden months in the past 6 months or so. India has actually given $3.8 billion worth of aid and assistance for Sri Lanka to buy food, medicine, fertilizers, and also has completed its commitment that a Dornier aircraft, a surveillance aircraft, will be given to its Air Force, the Sri Lankan Air Force. So that way, India has been benevolent. It does not have any strings attached to the assistance it gives to smaller neighbors. And particularly to Sri Lanka, it has been very kind of late. But that doesn't seem to work in Colombo. And the new president insists that he has good relations with both India and China. But clearly, his actions don't support his assertion.
Gordon, a puzzle here. What does China want in Sri Lanka? Is this part of its chain of pearls that it strings across the Indo-Pacific heading to the Atlantic? Is it just a port call that it wants, or what else?
Well, certainly it wants the port facilities, which is the reason why it pushed the Hambantota port early in the century, and also why in 2017 it actually took over the port when Sri Lanka was not able to pay. So it certainly wants Sri Lanka on China's side. They want to be able to surround India, which is a major foreign policy goal for Beijing. And they want to control the Indian Ocean. And Sri Lanka gives them one of the nodes for them to do that. So it's multifaceted, but clearly China sees India as an adversary and wants to make sure that India is boxed in.
Nitin, India is in open military confrontation with China. This is very peculiar that Sri Lanka would not understand how sensitive this is. Is Delhi planning to have another longer meeting with Sri Lanka and the new government in Sri Lanka to be very clear that China is not welcome off the Indian coastline?
Oh, indeed. In fact, the next steps that are being contemplated in New Delhi are very clear. And I recall an incident in 2014 when there was a different government in Sri Lanka, when a Chinese submarine had docked closer to the Indian shores in the Colombo port. And India drew a red line that time and said that this is unacceptable. It is breaching the agreement with, not an agreement, but breaching India's confidence. And this should not be repeated. So since then, no submarine has come to Colombo, which is the capital of Sri Lanka. So India will have to now go back to the drawing board and insist, drawing another red line to Sri Lanka, that no survey or surveillance ship should be allowed to come to Hambantota. But the Chinese keep telling the Sri Lankans that, look, we own the 99-year lease on the Hambantota port, and therefore it is our right to come there. So it's going to be a bitter contest, but I think Sri Lanka will have to choose a side very soon. And I think India is going to insist on not crossing that red line that I mentioned.
Nitin Gokhale in Delhi, our strategic affairs analyst, Gordon Chang. I'm John Bashley.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor.